Good morning, everybody. It is great to see you this morning, and it's great to have you all here. If you are visiting with us, you're one of our guests. We're glad you're here. Please stick around afterward. I know it might be hard when you visit a new place to stay and meet new people, but we love to meet those that are visiting with us, and we want to get to know you a little bit, and we're just glad you're here. We promise to not make it too awkward. All right? At least I promise that. I don't speak for everybody, so. Well, we're glad you're here. We are going to be taking a little bit of a break from our Walking with Christ series that we've been doing, but it's just a little break because this really does, our lesson this morning really does have a little bit to do with our walk with Christ. As it is this graduation Sunday, and we're thinking about Memorial Day, and there's all these great things happening right now, it's hard to not say that these things have something to do with walking with Christ, because they do. But as far as the series that we're doing, this is a little bit of a step outside of that just this morning. But we are still talking about honoring God by honoring others. In our lesson this morning, I'm calling it Doing Life God's Way. That's part of what happens when you move into a new stage of life. As Jordan is doing, graduating from high school, he's moving into this next phase. And so today is our graduation Sunday, and we want to honor our graduates. I say that in plural because maybe there are more that we want to honor as well, not just from high school. Maybe you're in a stage today where you're stepping into a new phase of life. I told and I promised Jordan that this lesson wouldn't be just for him this morning, and that, as it is a graduation Sunday message, that it wouldn't just be for him and him alone. Otherwise, I could put him down front, and you could all go, because I could tell him this anytime, right? But I don't want to single him out just alone this morning. I want us all to learn a lesson this morning from the passage that we're going to read. It certainly applies to those graduating from high school or college, but it even applies to those that are stepping into a new role, maybe from elementary school to middle school. Maybe you're entering elementary school. Maybe there's just a difference between second and third grade, and that's a big deal. It could be that, those stages in life, you need to hear this message. But this applies to all of us, even those of us who've been done with school for a long time. We are all needing encouragement as we live a life to follow Christ. And so that is walking with Christ. My lesson is doing life God's way this morning, because many times we try to do things our own way and not submit ourselves to God when we do those things. We take things into our own hands, and every time we do, we fail. Maybe not at first, but failure will result if we rely on our own efforts. I want us all to see this story this morning. We're going to see this story of Simon Peter at the end of the book of John. So if you'll turn to John chapter 21, we're going to read verses 15 through 19. And it'll be on the screen, but if you want to turn over there, if you're like me, you like to make notes in your Bible. So let's read John chapter 21. We're going to read verses 15 through 19. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." You know, when we first meet Peter, we find him by the sea, and we see that he's a fisherman. Jesus comes by and calls Peter to follow him. He says, "Follow me." And Peter leaves his business, his livelihood, his family, to go and follow Jesus. And a little bit later, we find out that Peter thought that he knew what he was actually doing, and what he had when he had dropped everything to get to follow Jesus, he thought he had things figured out. This is because Peter and his disciples believed that Jesus was this long-awaited Messiah. And that meant that Jesus was going to overthrow the Roman government and set up this new physical earthly kingdom. And Peter wanted to be a part of what he thought that Jesus was going to do here. Well, Peter found out pretty quickly that Jesus wasn't doing that. He was walking around and healing people and preaching this message. And Peter was wondering, when is this going to start, Jesus? Jesus wasn't heading down that same road that Peter had thought about and had expected. And what Peter had expected was not going to come to pass, at least not yet. And we find that Peter and the other disciples, they had to make this choice. We follow Jesus, or we have to turn back. We have to go back to what was before. And during his time as a disciple of Jesus, we find Peter sticking his foot into his mouth over and over again, finding himself in trouble all the time because he believed that he could do things on his own, and he didn't submit himself to Christ. But here in this passage this morning, we find out that even though Peter failed many times over and over again, he is restored by Jesus. And ultimately, he goes on to be one of these great early church leaders. In John chapter 21, we find Peter graduating, if you want to call it that, from being a disciple with his own desires, with his own goals, to this full-fledged apostle, dedicated to spreading the gospel of Christ. And we find that Peter was now ready to move on out from underneath this safe umbrella of serving with Jesus. And he became a servant who was willing to serve Christ even after Jesus was resurrected to heaven. And Peter graduated and became what Christ had always intended him to be from the beginning. Those who are graduating, they stand at a crosswalk in their lives. A crossroad. Ever since we've been born, Christ has been calling us to come to Him. Some have come. Some have done that. Some have sat on the sideline and waited. They wanted to see what was going to happen. Some have outright rejected Him. Said, I'm not going to do that. But many people, they have their own expectations in life. We have our own preconception of what we're supposed to be doing in our lives. You know, we can all put ourselves in that perspective. We make plans. You know, we think we know what we're going to do. Maybe we've begun a new phase in life, whether that's starting a new class or a new high school or a new college, or maybe you're going out and you're getting ready to start working in the world. We all have our own dreams, our own desires and thoughts about what we want to accomplish. But what we soon find out is that your way, seeking only after what we desire, what I want, doing my own thing, it's not going to work. We find that out quickly. That's because teachers have their own lesson plans. And there's structured work scenarios that you have to hold to and follow. And if we try to do it our own way, we're going to fail at that. But today, even if you may have failed on an occasion or some point in your life, we find that we've been restored, so to speak. And we can say that we've graduated to this next stage of our lives. When you complete high school or college or some other phase in life, you're leaving that safe haven to move out into the world. And like Peter, after Christ had restored him, you're going out into the world with the teachings and the instructions that you've been given, but you're going to be separated from those who have mentored and taught you. Today, I want to share this message that Jesus wants us all to hear to feed his sheep. Whatever stage you're moving into in your life, Jesus wants you to tend his lambs. Jesus wants you to live for him, totally submit to his calling on your life, just like Peter did that day at the beach some 2,000 years ago. And what many people don't seem to realize is that it doesn't matter where you are in life right now. It doesn't matter what you've done up to this point. Surrender to Jesus now, and he can use you. He can. Jesus wants you to serve him. Jesus desires that you work in his kingdom and help it to grow by sharing Christ with other people around you. Jesus wants you. It seems like this life of Peter is just this microcosm of humanity in general. When we start off our life first, we think that we can do anything. Many of us were told that we could be and do anything that we put our mind to. How many of you were told that as a child, right? You can do anything. And for Peter, he believed in his heart that when he left everything behind to follow Jesus, he felt that he would do great things. He thought that because Jesus was this long-awaited Messiah, that great things would be thrust upon him, and he would become great. Peter thought that he would be taking the place in this new kingdom of Israel when Jesus came into his kingdom. Peter fully believed that Jesus was going to shake the very foundation of the Roman government, and that Israel would be able to shake off their captors and then establish this new earthly kingdom that would be led by Jesus the King. Now, this may sound surprising to you, but this is what all of the disciples thought at first when Jesus called them into service with him. We find out that Peter seemed to be the one that was full of self-confidence. In fact, when we look at Peter, we find him to be a little bit arrogant and mouthy. He's talking back to Jesus a lot. We find Peter opening his mouth and inserting his foot on so many different occasions in Scripture. Peter once was even brave enough to rebuke Jesus when Jesus was foretelling his death on the cross. If we look over at Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 23, we see that. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." It seemed that Peter didn't really learn his lesson there. Because later on, Peter believed that his devotion to Jesus was enough to get him through any trial or persecution. He truly believed he would just never fail or falter. He never thought he would deny Christ. You know, we read in Matthew 26, verse 33, that he answered, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." He didn't believe that he would deny Christ. In John 13, Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Peter believed he could handle anything that came his way. He believed that it was his strength that would carry him through and keep him true to Christ. But that's the exact reason why we find Peter stumbling through most of this, most of the time. Peter had been this fisherman, and his physical strength was his thing that he always relied on. He had this physical strength and ability. He had always been courageous and unafraid, and so he believed that he could face anything this world had to offer. Peter never grasped this concept of leaning on Jesus. Well, today, you all may have your own preconceptions and realities about how your life is supposed to turn out. Right now, it's very possible that you only see things through your own eyes, and you don't see it through God's eyes. Well, in our passage for this morning, I want to point out that Peter was suffering. He was ashamed because he had found out the hard way that he could not make it by his own power. Peter found out that without leaning on Christ, He was going to fall. He was going to fail. Friends, this here is this beautiful picture that I want to paint for you this morning. No matter how much of a failure you may have been or had in your life, no matter how much you've turned your back on Jesus, no matter how terrible you might think you have been, if you turn to Jesus, if you submit to Him, He'll take you under His arm just as He took Peter. And Jesus will console you just like He did for Peter. Jesus will restore you and save you just like He did with Peter. And why? It's because of His love for you. For His love for all of us, right? Life is this great challenge. And sometimes it's more challenging than we expect it to be. Like I said earlier, to Jordan and everyone else, today you're at this crossroad in your life. Today you're going to admit that you cannot do it on your own, or today you're going to continue to be stubborn, thinking that you have the power to do it by yourself. But if you will not surrender to Jesus, you will fail. You're going to. But Jesus loves you, and He wants you to be part of His family. He desires to lead and to guide you with His love. And today, are you willing to allow Him to do that? Are you going to allow Jesus to love you? Are you willing today to allow Jesus to wrap His arms around you? I'm sure that morning on that beach that Peter wanted to see Jesus. He was thrilled that Jesus was there. He had been raised from the dead just as He had said He would be. But I can imagine that Peter was ashamed because he had failed Jesus. Peter had abandoned Jesus at His darkest hour. He had betrayed Him by denying he knew Him in public. Peter wanted to see Jesus, but he felt unworthy. He felt ashamed at what he had done. And today, maybe figuratively and literally, you may have been in the same boat as Peter. You may have done some of the same things that he has done, and maybe you're ashamed. You don't think that you have anything to offer to God. But I want you to know now that Jesus does want you to be a part of His kingdom. And even when we fail, even when we falter, Jesus is there. He loves us with this love that goes beyond our performance. He loves us with this unconditional love that loves us in spite of our failure. We generally start out life thinking that we can do anything under our own power. But life happens. And then we realize that we can do nothing. At least not by our own power. We find that Peter had failed Jesus even before he had betrayed Him. Let's look at these verses here quickly. Matthew chapter 26, I want to read a few of these. Verses 41 and 45. And He came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And He said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And then 45, He says, "Then He came to the disciples and said to them, 'Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners.'" At this point, Jesus was at His lowest moment here on earth. His human nature was crying out to God to let this cup pass from Him. He had asked His disciples to pray with Him about it. And even at this critical time, Peter had failed Jesus. He literally fell asleep. Peter promised a lot, said he would never leave you. "I will never leave you, Jesus." But he couldn't deliver that. He made many bold predictions about what he would be able to do, but then he refused to submit to the lordship of Christ. You think about yourself, when we make a brash and bold prediction about ourselves without the proper guidance, leadership, and experience, we are bound to fail, just like Peter. Peter made some pretty bold predictions about himself, about his love for Jesus, but we find that the reality of this matter is that when the chips were down, Peter collapsed. Peter had no chance to live up to his claims of faithfulness under his own power, and Jesus knew this. Jesus knew that Peter was trying to live out his calling on his own power, and he knew that he would fail. So I say this morning, Jordan, really all of us, we can look back at our lives now, at high school. Those of us who've been to college, we can look at that. Maybe it's a trade that you went through. I bet you made some pretty bold, brash decisions about yourself, didn't you? Maybe it wasn't so bold. Maybe you didn't think it was bold. You know, maybe you were thinking about what you would do in life, what you would major in college, what job you would have in the future. You probably said, I'm going to make this much money, or I'm going to accomplish this goal. But sadly, maybe we failed. You know, we need to cling to those that are around us, like teachers and mentors, instructors. They will help us to achieve all those goals that we have. But if we go off on our own and attempt to do it under our own power, it's going to be difficult. That's maybe when you saw failure in your life. That's when you found out that maybe you couldn't stand up to pressure on your own. Jesus wanted Peter to know that this battle was going to be more difficult than he believed it was going to be. And today I stand before you as someone who has done the same thing. A high school graduate, a college graduate. But for me to say that I did this on my own would be a lie. Because I had leadership, I had guidance from the godly people around me in my life, from God himself. I had many moments of failure to get to where I am today. And I could not have made it through those failures if it had not been for Jesus and his guidance and leadership. Peter found himself here in this passage struggling and hurting because he tried to do these things on his own. And today you may have found yourself struggling as well because you've tried to do things your way. You've tried to do things as per your desires. You failed and you found nothing but misery. God does not desire misery for us, but deliverance and salvation. God does demand our allegiance. He does demand our devotion. And we must submit to his plan, to his purpose, and his way of doing things. And when we do find that we do that, we will find peace and joy. We will succeed in our endeavors for Christ. You know, Peter totally had missed what Jesus was all about. He relied on his own wisdom to lead and to guide his decisions when he was following Jesus. And we find that leaning on our own wisdom and following our own desires as our guide, we'll find a bitter time. But Peter, you know, he started to get annoyed with Jesus asking him if he loved him. And what Jesus was trying to get him to see is that Jesus truly loved Peter. And he needed Peter to see that. Now look with me over in Matthew chapter 26, towards the end, 69 through 75. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you mean." And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again, he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. How many times have I wept bitterly as I failed to trust in Jesus? As Christians, I know that we have all found ourselves in that same situation. You found yourself sorry and dejected because you've done something you know you shouldn't have done. You've relied on your own judgment and wisdom when you should have been relying on God. And the Bible is very clear about wisdom and the kind of wisdom that we must seek. We cannot seek this earthly wisdom as it is folly. It leads to destruction. We're to seek godly wisdom. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 8 says it best. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. When we learn to look to God for our wisdom, for those decisions that we have to make, we're going to find a support system like no other. That leads me to my final point this morning, and that is that we must understand that in Christ, we can do everything. John chapter 21, verse 17 says, he said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. It's here that we see Peter graduate. He's graduated from the Jesus school. But it had not been an easy 3 years for him. See, he only took 3 years to graduate. Peter bore the scars of trying to do things his way, but this morning on the beach, Peter saw Jesus for who he was, this humble servant Savior. He saw Jesus on the beach cooking breakfast for them in this act of humility and love. The resurrected Christ is on a beach making breakfast for other people. Peter heard Jesus tell them where to cast their nets for a good catch, since they had no success the entire night. Peter experienced Jesus providing for his physical needs. Then Peter experienced the love of Christ in a very special way. Peter experienced the forgiveness of God when Jesus took Peter aside and took care of his spiritual needs. Jesus did not condemn Peter for his denial, but he encourages him to feed his sheep, to love the flock, but to feed those sheep who are in need of the wisdom of God. Friends, today, you may be struggling in your walk with Jesus. In your life, there's probably been times where you may have denied Christ a few times. Maybe you did it to try to fit in. Or maybe it was to avoid persecution or ridicule, just as Peter did. I want you to know that just as Jesus was there for Peter on that morning, he loved him, Jesus is there for you as well and loves you. Jesus is ready to pick you up in his arms and love you with such a love that you will never again seek another love. The love of Christ is perfect and wonderful. Jesus loved Peter back into a leadership position within that first century church. And we can know that regardless of what life throws our way, regardless of how much we fail, Jesus will be there. And if we will lean upon him and submit to him, there's nothing we cannot do in his name. Paul had the right idea when he said, in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Today, those moving into new grades in our high school graduate, Jordan, we stand on the border of this new world and new life. You're facing the unknown, whether it's starting a new grade with a new teacher, moving to a new school for middle school, moving into new classrooms, getting your new locker. Maybe it's spending a gap year, focusing on your faith, going to college, starting a trade, or maybe you're going out in the world to work. Become that person that God has called you to be. You're going to face unknown things. Maybe you're moving into a new home, starting a new job. Maybe you've been promoted to a new position in your work. Maybe you're moving into retirement. We are constantly graduating from one chapter of our lives to another. And today, I want you to know that Jesus is there for you. Jesus wants to guide your steps. Jesus wants to direct your path. You may be at the point in your life that you feel that you've strayed too far from God, that you've lived too bad of a life, that you have nothing left to offer him. Well, I want to stand here today, and I do, as an illustration of God's patience and his love. For the longest time, I claimed to know God, but I ran from God, and I didn't follow him. It took me a while to fully surrender to him. Now, to me, that's great patience on the part of God. There were times in my life where I thought I was too far gone. I felt that I had nothing to offer him. But God is gracious. And when I finally did turn to him, in his grace and his mercy, he loved me. He restored me. Then he began to use me in his kingdom for his glory. My friends, you are valuable to God. It's his desire that you submit to his calling in your life. If this describes you, then I want to call on you to come and repent before God. Repent and submit to him today. Your life is important to God because it can be used to glorify his name. And like Peter, you may have traveled down paths that you shouldn't have. But Jesus still loves you. And he's willing to forgive and restore you into a good favor before God and restore your witness for him and restore your zeal for the kingdom. Won't you come and surrender to the calling of Christ on your life? Won't you come and submit to God fully and completely? This invitation this morning is not just for Jordan, not just for those who have graduated in our midst. This invitation is for anyone and everyone. We all have times where we need to realize that we need to submit and surrender our hearts. Maybe we haven't been doing that. We all need to turn to Jesus for guidance and for direction. This morning I say, won't you come today and give it all to Jesus? Maybe you need prayer this morning to take that step. I'll be down front here. One of our elders will be up here, probably Ken. And you can come and we will pray with you. And we would love to do that. Today is also the day of salvation. Water is prepared here for if you'd like to be baptized. But this is the opportunity and invitation for you this morning. Jordan's going to come and lead us in a song. During that song, you can come. And I encourage you, let's stand, let's sing this song. And if you have any need, come now.